Well, good evening. As Mark said, Pastor Jason is away, and I understand the last 4 weeks he's been taking you on a journey, taking a look at what Scripture says about heaven. Is that right? All right, just making sure you're with me and making sure you're awake. You know, there's nothing that brings more joy to the child of God, nor should there, than to think about our future, right? The eternity where we will spend with our Lord and Savior, face to face in His presence, right? All things made new. God restoring everything as He intended. There should be nothing that gives us greater hope and greater joy than heaven. For the child of God. But here's the thing, I am not going to attempt today to continue that journey. I'm gonna hit the pause button and let Jason pick back up where he wants to next week. So what I'm gonna do for the next couple of minutes is play the role of a positive disruptor. All right, and I'm gonna pose a question that I want us to think about for just a couple of minutes, and here is that question. How can we hold fast to that promise of heaven when we look around and we see the chaos, the confusion, the difficult circumstances that are around us in the present? There is nothing more wonderful than to set our gaze on heaven, but how, as a child of God, how do we know it's real? How do we know that what Scripture tells us and describes as this glorious place where there is no more crying, right? Every tear wiped away, all things made new. How do we know that that is real? How do we know that our hope is secure and steadfast? Well, to answer that question, I want us to spend just a couple of minutes in what may be for you a very familiar story in Scripture. But for those maybe who it's not, that's okay. We're going to recap it. We're going to think about the book of Ruth for just a couple of moments to help answer that question. So let me set the scene for you from Ruth chapter 1 about what's going on here. So we're in the period of the judges. The time of the judges is where we are. That's the setting for the book of Ruth. And when we enter the story of Ruth, we find out that there is a family of four: Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. All right, and they come from Bethlehem, but there is a famine in the land of Israel and in Bethlehem, and so Elimelech makes the decision to leave Israel, to leave Bethlehem, and go to the country of Moab, the pagan nation of Moab, to find food and for his family to survive. Well, while he is there, Elimelech passes away. His sons marry women from Moab. Their names are Orpah and Ruth. But within a few years, Mahlon and Chilion both pass away as well. And so we are left with Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws. All three find themselves widowed. Naomi in a foreign land. You may say, Daniel, I thought you said you were going to show us how we could hold fast to this promise of heaven from the book of Ruth, and you're kind of making it just get more ominous and ominous. I told you I was going to be a positive disruptor tonight. Here's where I want to start. I want to start with the character who may be one of the most unfamiliar in the story of Ruth, and that is Elimelech, Naomi's husband. He's really only in the beginning of the story because he doesn't survive past verse 3. But names are significant in Ruth. And here's what Elimelech's name means. My God is king, is what the name Elimelech means. Now, to think about that, if you know the context, you think there's a little bit of irony there that the author of Ruth is letting us in on, and it's really important that we understand the importance of Elimelech's name, and it means my God is king, because if we were to flip back one page to the end of Judges, we find out a description of how things are in the land of Israel during this time, and here's how Judges ends in verse 25 of chapter 21. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And if you've read the book of Judges, you know there is cycle after cycle of rebellion by the people and sin, and they get taken captive. To get their attention, God allows them to be taken captive, and then they repent, and God sends a deliverer or a judge to set the people free. But then they go through the cycle again, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And the author of Judges says, listen, if I'm going to put it in one sentence, it would be this. Israel had no king. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes, meaning they were not looking to God as king. They were looking to themselves. So this is the setting. So here you have a nation who have forgotten Yahweh. They are not, they want to be kings themselves. They are doing what is right in their own eyes. Here's a nation without a king. You've got a man named Elimelech whose name means God is my king, but he's not living like God is his king. He is leaving the promised land and going to a pagan nation. That's the setting for Ruth in those days. So what does the author want us to see, and how does this connect with how we can have hope that the promises in Scripture that tell us about our future as believers are sure? Well, let's finish the story of Ruth. Naomi decides to go back to Bethlehem. Her daughter-in-law say, we'll go. One daughter-in-law on the way has second thoughts. She goes, nope, I'm staying here at home. Ruth says, no, I'm going with you. They go back to Bethlehem. They meet Boaz when they get back to Bethlehem. Boaz is a picture of Christ. Boaz provides for Naomi and Ruth, provides food for them so that they do not starve, provides shelter for them, and eventually he is a kinsman redeemer, which we don't have time to get into the meaning of that, but basically Boaz steps in and meets every need they have, but he does so above and beyond to the point that he eventually marries Ruth and provides for her and Naomi. And they have a son named Obed. And that's really how Ruth ends. But it's this beautiful story. The story of Ruth is so beautiful to see God's provision. But here's what I want you to understand. Even in the darkest times, even in the nation of Israel had a very dark moment in their history, God was still king. Even in a time when they were not looking to him as king, he was still at work among his people to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. Because here's the thing, God is on the throne. Whether Elimelech acknowledged it or not, God was on his throne and he was working. And the work of God comes from the heart of God. And the heart of God is to redeem and restore. Because God's nature is shown through a word that comes out in Ruth many, many times called hesed. It means the kindness of God, the loving kindness, the compassion. And we see it. We see Ruth display it to Naomi. We see Ruth display it to Boaz. We see Boaz display it to both Ruth and Naomi. It's this picture of how God wants to meet every need we have. It's a picture of the gospel that in Christ, he meets our needs. And because he is on the throne, in the book of Ruth, we see they go from famine to abundance. They're provided for everything they need and beyond. Ruth goes from being an alien to having a homeland. Naomi and Ruth go from being alone to now they have a family. They go from being nobodies to now Ruth marries Boaz, and Boaz and Ruth have a son named Obed, and Obed has a son named Jesse, and Jesse has a son named David. And David's line produces the Messiah. So you see, even in the darkest of times, God is king. He is on his throne. He is at work. And if he is on the throne, then that means his kingdom is eternal. And that means his plans will succeed. And church, here's the thing. And that means heaven is sure. Because he is on the throne. No matter our mistakes, no matter how dark our circumstances may be, no matter the burdens we carry, we can have confidence that the same God who was on the throne in the book of Ruth is on the throne now. And he will accomplish his purpose to redeem and restore fallen humanity to himself because of his loving kindness. He will display it and lavish it upon us. And we do have a home that awaits. We will go. We are citizens. We are part of the royal family. We are adopted into his family, co-heirs. Heaven is sure, church. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time to just celebrate your goodness, to be reminded, God, that you are on the throne and that your hand is at work. God, help us to pause often, to be mindful of your chesed, your loving kindness and compassion. God, that you are not bound by duty to show to us. God, you do it because it is your nature to do it, because you want to display who you are, and that is your love. God, help us to trust you. God, help us to rest in the security of knowing you are on the throne. God, we thank you for the promise of your word that there will come a day where we will spend eternity face to face, seeing clearly, knowing you fully. Hallelujah. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful night.